building discussion.
You mean you haven't got that building up yet?
Good morning. I'm here to, as Mr. Vincent just indicated, to talk about the Greenwood Library. When we appeared last April before the county council on this issue, we were directed to look at alternative building techniques versus standard stick-built construction, the idea there might be other more cost-effective means. With me today, I have Mr. Mike Wigley from the firm of Davis, Billen, and Friedel, who was the architect selected for this project. And Mr. Wigley has a short presentation to discuss the two different types of building of construction techniques that we looked at. We're going to turn it over to Mike since we're kind of late in the agenda today. Mm-hmm.
Morning, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. What I've just passed out is a cost comparison that you'll see that we looked at a pre-engineered type building and a modular building. The good news is right now that at this stage in design, we're under budget. And of course, the credit, a lot of the credit goes to Mr. Izzo and Julie Cooper keeping the architect in check. And they, but a lot of the credit goes to the library folks, and several of them are here in the audience. The state level, the county level, Pat Brown and her staff, what they've been asked to do is 3 years ago or so, there was a feasibility study for them that said that in order for you to build a library, you really need to have something in the neighborhood of 14,000 square feet. Well, our budget just really didn't permit that, and we found a way to squeeze that program into 10,500 square feet thereabouts. And then on top of that, what we wanted to look at was what would be the one of the least expensive ways we can build this structure and be cost effective that way. A lot of times when you're working on a small site, sometimes you have to design custom. In this case, we were able to rule that out entirely and look at either of these two options as a successful way of building a library. The functionality of the library works for either one. So whichever way we go from that point of view, how a library works, it's not going to be compromised by either a modular or a pre-engineered approach. Now, modular building, as many of you know, is a type that it's built in a factory. It comes basically in pieces on a truck. In this case, there would be 10 units that would come in and be assembled on site. In this case, too, the modular includes the floor, the walls, not the ceiling, because then what happens are trusses are added to the modular components, but they come in as a package. The pre-engineered type building is the type you've seen, many buildings up and down the coast or warehouses, other type buildings. It really is just a method of building components, structural steel components that are done offsite, and then they come in and are put into the pieces. What we did was we wanted to make sure that we take full advantage of both approaches when we've set up the floor plan, make sure things work efficiently, and they do. And then what you'll see on the bottom line of the cost estimate are both of them are very similar in costs. Mm-hmm. So what we've been left with is really looking at pros and cons for each approach to see which is really the way to go to serve the library community the best. And what we've done is, of course, the modular approach has several benefits. One is it's wood construction, which is a pretty simple method of building. Everybody really knows how to do wood. You can nail in picture frames later a little more easily than to a wood stud than you can a metal stud, but that's one of the benefits. The majority of the construction is climate controlled. If we're building into the winter season, sometimes you get the benefits of that. It will shorten the construction time, and there's some savings there. And in this case, we have a little bit more variety if we wanted to with the roof, because you're coming in with trusses later, so you could vary the pitches a little bit more. If you're really going to take full advantage of a pre-engineered type building, you're limited generally to a 412 pitch. So those would be some of the benefits of modular. With a pre-engineering, again, it's still a modular type system. You work with certain base spacings. And there's some benefit to that from a cost point of view. The other thing that's good about the pre-engineered is we're able to span longer areas more easily. And in a library, that's pretty important because you have stack spaces, like the adults area is fairly large. You want to try to keep that open. The children's area In this particular building, we've got a couple of meeting rooms that will be available to the public. The pre-engineered satisfies those needs a little bit better. Also, with the steel construction, it's non-combustible. Theoretically, you know, if buildings are maintained, they'll last for a long time. Steel will last longer than wood, all other things being equal. In the case of the pre-engineered structure, we don't necessarily have to have suspended beams that we would have in the modular scenario, so we can do a little bit more with the ceiling in there. But probably the biggest advantage that we found is that with a pre-engineered facility, we're able to do it with slab on grade. This particular site is in a flood zone, but the site itself is elevated above, pretty near that flood level, so we don't have to bring the grade up much at all to put in the slab. And with the modular buildings, you need to bring them in. Since it already has a floor system, it goes onto a foundation that's built, and therefore you need to create a crawl space. So with a crawl space system, you'd have another component of the building that you'd have to maintain. You'd have the flood ventilation. There'd be some waterproofing involved. There'd be a maintenance issue with that. The other big negative about the crawl space is that the building ends up being elevated. And since this building is going to be open to the public, ADA accessibility becomes very important. We also have books that are being delivered, very heavy. We want to try to avoid the use of steps and ramps if we can, and the slab on grade allows us to do that. And also, the slab on grade is a fairly inexpensive way of supporting a very heavy floor. Libraries are one of the most aggressive loading situations that you can imagine. You know how heavy your books are when you move them from home. The same situation happens in libraries, and to be able to put that on a concrete floor, we think would be a little better situation than an engineered wood floor. So all in all, we, like I say, the costs are good. Structurally, constructability-wise, either approach would be good, but we just feel that the pre-engineered direction would be a much better one for the library.
The other advantage is if there is a small opportunity to expand the library slightly in the future, the pre-engineered building, again, gives you more flexibility to move walls in the future if we ever did pursue that slight expansion that's available to us, perhaps another 2,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from council?
Mm-mm. So we're exiting the modular, mm-hmm. and we're going with pre-engineering. Right?
That would be our recommendation, but we can make either one work.
Yeah. There's likely to be expansion. I'm along with Mike on that.
Where did you get your pricing on this? Other than your opinion, did you go to modular people?
No, we did. We actually
did go down the road and ask.
We did. We met with Berica. They were very helpful. I've got to tell you, it was a good education for me because it's definitely a system we'll want to consider in the future for other, you know, building types. And they did give us some direct numbers that were very helpful for this.
They said they can't move walls if they build a modular? Is that what they're saying?
Oh, no. They can.
Mm-hmm.
They
said it's easier.
That's what I was understanding you're saying here.
No, it is.
It's just going to be, it's just easier with because a pre-engineered is spanning the 30 feet, and with the modulars, they have to. They have to be able to transport them, so they're a locked-in box, basically.
I understand.
Okay.
Any more questions from council?
No. It's over $115,000 just for the landscaping, in a sense of speaking, overall. We got sediment, erosion. Well, they got a water problem there now. Must be a big water problem. It'll cost us over $100,000 to get that correct.
Well, when they made a comparison, Sam, those numbers are the same on each comparison, right?
That.
So they didn't really impact the price.
Don't forget, we've already got a library there.
Right. But I'm
so what we're doing is taking the old library out. It's going to cost us $100,000+ mm-hmm. more to get this piece of ground and prepare this piece of ground to put this new building back. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, that's probably high estimates. I know. We could save money. It could come in under budget.
It looks like a lot of money.
We are going to be three times larger than the existing building. So.
And each of these issues at Sam's.
The building's going to be larger, three times larger, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So that means there's going to be a lesser parking lot now.
Now parking lot stays the same.
What are you going to do, move the building back towards?
Right. It's almost going to be about where the front of the building is now. And if there's a pump building that's in behind, it's being built toward that building. There's some open space now. It used to be a park at one time.
What is a flood slump?
Flood zone?
S-U-M-P.
Some pump, yeah. If we do a crawl space, we would want to put a, we would want to.
I was wondering why you had on one, didn't have it on the other.
We don't have the crawl space on the pre-engineered.
Can I go ahead then?
No. That'd be slab on grade.
On the bidding, we'll put this out for bid?
Yes.
Okay. Will the site work be separate bid, or is that going to be, because if all these numbers, we could have some savings, as alluded to Sam, or are we just going to bid out the building, or are we going to bid it all out?
My preference is to bid it all out as one package, because you tie that building into the site work. If there, one thing we actually did that recently, if you recall, with the Laurel Paramedic Station, where
yes,
we had a separate.
That ended up being a good day.
Oh, Lord.
It was a fiasco, to put it bluntly. There's a lot of coordination that have to be done, and if one contractor makes a mistake or is late, it affects the other contractor, the liability comes back to us.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we'd have
from the engineer
state
of the
wages.
Year, I'll yes. accept it today.
Yeah, there you go.
State wages, huh, Mike?
See how long that
yes.
He needs to wear that on his lapel somehow, that big guy.
Like any more questions of
like a George
Mr. Rizzo?
Parrish.
All right, do we need...
I have a motion. I'm not sure if it requires a motion, but I did prepare.
Mr. Board, do we need a motion for them to move forward with the bidding process, or what?
It will not hurt.
Okay.
To go with it.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the engineering department to proceed with the design for a pre-engineered metal building structure by Davis, Bell, and Fidel for the expansion of the Greenwood Public Library.
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole. Second.
I'll second it.
Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I move yes. Motion carried.
Just want to mention two other items we have floating around on this project. We are in the process of looking for a temporary location to move the library to keep in operation while the construction is ongoing. Uh-huh. We are about to proceed with a negotiation of that lease. Mr. Ferret and my staff is here. We think we found a location. There is no perfect location, but we have found one that's feasible. We will pursue that and bring that lease back to the county council in several weeks. And also one other item is because we do have the existing library, we have been approached, the town of Greenwood has some interest in taking over ownership of the existing library and using it. But I've also been approached by a local church. A church is formed in the area. They have no permanent home. They approached us recently about taking over ownership. And in the past, we've also done something as simple as bidding out, you know, the ownership of the building, and then it would be picked up and moved to another location. And at some point, we'll need some guidance from the county council on how you would like to address that issue.
Just a quick question. I'm going to make an assumption here, but that you, this relocation for the construction project, you have been in conversation with the Friends of the Greenwood Library, and they're all okay.
And Mrs. Graybeal is here, and I think she is supportive mm-hmm. of this particular approach.
That was a thumbs up. I'm going to assume that was a good thing. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Steve Hudson, come on down.
Come, Steve Hudson, guy.
Emergency Operations Center.
Yeah, this is the one I've been waiting for, Mr. President.
Okay. We're almost to it.
Going to cost money.
Steve's just a messenger, right, Steve?
Oh, no.
It's all on his shoulders.
No. He's
that Tom
to fix
Ferret
it.
Guy, too.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have two items, and yes, my first item is the Emergency Operations Center. And I hope you all receive the spreadsheets.
Yes, sir, we did.
Packets. As we all know, we experienced late last spring, we started experiencing problems with our HVAC system at DOC. And we did rent a portable cooling tower or fluid cooler to keep us in operation. That did work during the summer. I will say it was a very long summer. Keeping this thing in operation, learned that it's a very high maintenance, high dollar to operate piece of equipment. So We began research and we're actually had gotten advice to pursue a design using this cooling tower type of unit. But again, as the summer went on and we saw the difficulties with it, tried to look for a couple different, maybe a better means of cooling. You know, presently we have the closed loop geothermal system that is undersized and just isn't adequately supplying the building. So we moved on and we started to research another traditional approach, which is the mechanical, called the mechanical chiller system that actually uses a refrigerant compressor, blowers, fans, pumps. You know, and we're talking of the size of, you know, 80-ton units. And you can imagine what the costs incur for the price of the equipment, lead times. And actually, if you look at your spreadsheet on the right side, I put together a chart showing not only the install costs at the top, but the mechanical system user costs projected out for a 10-year period. And just the cost of power alone, and again, remind you, this is only one section of the HVAC system. This doesn't include the compressors inside the building. But it would cost us nearly $24,000 a year to operate this chiller system just for this one particular piece of equipment. And then along with service contracts, because, you know, this would be a system that, you know, we're none qualified to maintain or to repair. We'd have to have somebody 24/7 on call, you know, due to you know, just the complexity of the center to keep this thing running. So the bottom line for my 10-year cost to operate this unit is was $283,000, which is pretty significant. Now, this is a traditional approach. The pricing that I got actually was from a local vendor contractor, so these are real-world prices. You'll notice that I rated this as an N+1 system, meaning just like a couple years previously, we had to upgrade the UPS system there. We found ourselves in a situation that when this one piece of equipment failed, we would lose the entire center, and that's something that we just can't have. And I approach this the same way, because if we lose air conditioning in the middle of July, we have to have a backup system to go to, because about 2 hours without air conditioning is about all we had before, you know, the electronics would start shutting down. So I tried to build some redundancy into this design. The next approach, which I was actually contacted by a couple folks, and actually Mr. Wilson and I had a discussion about using wells. I think it was when I came before council in the spring. And I began to look into that, and actually I then received a phone call from a man from Tampa, Florida. His name is Jay Egg, and he is... I call him our geothermal expert. And one of his first statements to me was, if anybody knows how to deal with heat and how to, you know, transfer heat and air conditioning a facility, it's definitely us in Tampa, Florida, because mm-hmm. that's all they have. So we did spent a lot of research time, and I've actually gotten a report and a proposal from GEIP, who also specializes in geothermal technology. And we looked at adding the possibility of adding an open loop geothermal system to work in conjunction with this undersized closed loop. So we would actually extract well water, which is 55 to 59 degrees for this area, pump it in through a heat exchanger system, and then discharge it back into the well or into the ground. It is you know, just a little bit more costly to install because of, you know, the way our building's laid out. And there are a lot of things that we have yet to determine, like well placement, separations, so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm hoping that my install number may be a little high, but it, you know, it's just too early to tell. But with this type, which I'll call this an innovative approach versus the mechanical system, which is the traditional type of approach for this area. If you look at the 10-year costs to operate this system, the only added energy use is the power it takes to basically run one or two well pumps, whichever the case may be. And you can see it's significantly less than the traditional system using the chiller system. And then, you know, according to my numbers, and I'm seeing about a $50,000 approximate difference, maybe in the install cost initially. But even after 10 years, you know, we're seeing a cost savings of over $200,000 in operations and maintenance costs.
Any questions to council?
If we go to geothermal, isn't there two types of geothermal? Like there's a system that has that like antifreeze or something going
closed
through
loop.
It, closed loop or whatever, and
this,
then there's
this is open loop.
Okay, this is open loop. The problem with well water though is the quality of the well water. Sometimes if it's got some quality issues, can it eat up these certain components of the? Because I know a guy who every year he's got something being eaten up with his geothermal system because he's getting well water.
It absolutely can, and I should have handed this out.
Okay.
And
so that was just, what did you do, compare those two things, closed loop and open loop?
And we have a closed loop system as we exist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was a very good question.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's already been talked about.
The first page shows our existing system with the closed loop technology only. And the water is circulated through the ground, and if you follow the line through the pump, and it exactly circulates through the air conditioning compressors. If you did that with a open loop system pumping the well water, where you treat with glycol and with other chemicals, you still have the oxidation and the pitting and all this to contend with. Mm-hmm. Page number two, and this is my concept drawing only, you'll see that we would still utilize the closed loop system. And in the center, you will see the well system, the well pump with the VFD. But in between our existing equipment and this well system, you'll see a heat exchanger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take that well water, pump it through this side of the heat exchanger, pump our internal flowed water through this side of the heat exchanger so they never make contact. So this side never sees air, never sees the well water. It stays completely isolated, and that eliminates that problem.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know. I'm just speculating on things that I've heard about.
And it results from domestic systems not being of industrial strength,
and
you have exposure to air, and that's what causes the irritation.
See a little piece of knowledge.
Any more questions, Mr. Mason?
Well, this isn't a direct question about that, but I got a question the other day. Who is at fault about this, and are we recovering anything on it?
Sam.
We are working with our legal staff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm in position where I can discuss it.
Just want to let you know.
What's
coming up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of course, we can't figure out KW, so we're getting free liquid now from the source.
That's right. Any more questions, Mr. Maston? You have a motion, sir?
Yes, I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County accept the proposals from Gipe Associates and Egg Geothermal for the design of an open-loop geothermal well system to work in conjunction with our existing closed-loop system at our emergency operations center.
Entertain a motion.
Did we have to bid this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
We're going to bid it, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No.
I guess I missed the question. Okay. Entertain a motion from someone?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Okay.
Thank you.
And you have a solar system production report? So it says anyway.
This tells us where we make our money on
the solar. There you go.
Solar.
And I do have another set of handouts. I apologize for not having them ready last Friday. But, our solar system has been in, I'll call it metered operation for approximately 3 months. And Mr. Wilson had asked me for an update. What you'll see on the graph is actually part of the reported system software that we have set up for our system. And this is broken down into daily production. And the red line or across the top is the projected line. When I brought the project in, these were the numbers we were projecting the system produce, with the with the payback that I had shown in the older spreadsheet. And looking at September, and we did have a lot of cloudy, rainy days in September, which did affect our output. We did miss our projected mark of 454 kilowatt hours daily. We only produced 10,842, so we were only 80% of what we projected we would do.
Okay.
Moving to October, October was a lot better month for us, and we produced 111%, so that helps make up for some of the offset that we missed in September. November, we were at 101%. So on an average, and I did go back, we actually turned the system on July 29th, but I didn't have all the metering equipment software in place. So if I go back to July 29th, I just do some quick math. We have produced 50 megawatts of power since July 29th. Our target for the yearly production is 150,840 kilowatt hours. So we're pretty much on target to what we projected. We have had not the first maintenance issue since we went to final acceptance. We spent zero time, it's worked flawlessly. So to date, we have saved in excess of $5,000 just in kilowatt hours that we would have had to purchase, which would have all been used up by our rental unit at the EOC. But hopefully we're going to take care of that. So, we have done, the system is doing what we said it would do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Any questions, Mr. Masson?
No, very pleasing.
Mr. Wilson?
Why did we move the red line? We went from the 454 to 378.
The red line moves monthly.
Less daylight or what?
Because of less of daylight hours, exactly.
But we don't get no more electric, do we?
I'm sorry?
We're not getting any more electric calls. We moved the red line.
No, the red line is just a baseline, just a visible, and to show us, are we on target? And what it does show me is, we have a series of 18 power inverters there. So if I have a power inverter that I would be having an issue with, and I see a couple of days that aren't averaging or fall below, because I can break this down to the actual inverter. It tells me that we do have an issue before it becomes a major issue, and of course it would all be repaired under warranty.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
This is Webb, grant requests.
Okay, there's a few today. First one, Delaware State Police Troop 4 Explorers.
And that that's a previous grant?
Yes.
I think we did $150 per person, is that correct?
That's correct.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
I'll take it.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, as long as you'll take care of Troop 7 when they ask.
The grant, $750 to the Delaware State Police Troop 4 Explorers for common expenses. That's $150 per council person.
Mm-hmm.
Any question? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and just remember Troop 7 when that comes up.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Lady Shocker softball team.
So make a motion to grant $250 from my account.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson. Grant $250 to Lady Shocker softball team.
Lady Shocker.
From my account, somebody grants.
No.
Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Laurel Youth Sports Basketball.
What have they given?
That's a previous grant, I think.
Yes. Previously $250 each from Mr. Vincent, Mr. Phillips.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
The grant, $250 from my account and $250 from Mr. Phillips' account to Laurel U Sports Basketball.
Right.
Any questions? We will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Organization.
What did we give to that last year?
$200 each.
I make that motion that we do that again.
Second.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $200 from each councilmatic account to the Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Organization for celebration weekend expenses. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yeah. Motion carried.
The Community Food Pantry.
Where is?
This is in Selbyville, Delaware. It would be in Mr. Phillips' district.
What do we normally do for that?
We have given anywhere between $300 and $500 for food pantries is typical.
Well, times are tough. I'll make a motion. We give $500 at Mr. Phillips' discretionary. Okay, I hope you're listening, Vance. I'm taking care of you.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $500 to Community Food Pantry for food disadvantage in Selbyville, Mr. Phillips' account. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
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 I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the Calvary Cafe Food Pantry and Community Clothes Closet, they typically get a human service grant, missed the deadline, human service grants.
Where
funds.
Are they located?
They are in Milford.
In Milford?
Milford.
What'd they get before?
$500.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Wilson?
Do you want to split that between the two of us?
I'll do that.
Okay.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $500 to the Calvary Cafe and Community Clothes Closet for program expenses. $250, Mrs. Deaver. $250, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the way home.
And that is where?
That is in Georgetown.
Georgetown.
Yeah, that's for the vets, sir. Will you?
Miss.
What did I give them last time?
I think we gave a countywide, wasn't it?
Well, everybody they've gets. Gotten human service grant, mm-hmm. And they'll get one. But this is their annual appeal. They sent a special request into you.
It's countywide.
You had said $250. It's for Mr. Wilson.
Oh. How much you want to give to Sam?
They asked for how much?
You had put $250 on your request.
I did?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $250 from Mr. Wilson's account to the Way Home for program expenses. Any question on the motion?
I have a question. What did they actually ask for? And what did they miss? They missed that kind of the same amount?
No,
they got
some. This is an addition.
Yeah, this is
that was the other one.
Okay, fine. No, no question.
Okay.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Introduction proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. There's one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a beauty salon, barbershop, and spa to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 17,228.6 square feet, more or less. And it was on behalf of Roosevelt Domond, it looks like.
The owner is.
I'll introduce
okay,
it.
Okay,
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
Okay, and that was him.
That was it? Okay. Additional business brought before council. Mr. Guy is on his way up here with the trusty clipboard.
Trusty.
John and or Marion Greer. Greenwood Library. I assume they probably heard what they wanted to hear and they're gone.
Mr. President, I got something I'd like to ask.
Joe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thought there was only
thank
one.
Thank you. There you go.
This is about sea level rise and the state advisory committee. My name is Joe Klinge. I'm from Rehoboth Beach, and I'm speaking as an individual. I attended the presentation of the Delaware Sea Level Rise Advisory Committee at Cape Henlopen High School on November 29th and was dismayed to find that Sussex County was not represented on the committee, although both Kent and Newcastle counties are participating. When someone asked during the presentation why Sussex was not included, we were told that an invitation was sent to the county administrator asking for a representative, and the request was not answered. Since it is the work of this council to approve the location of such facilities as wastewater treatment sites, police, fire, EMS stations, and housing developments, not to take every opportunity to be informed and to contribute to the understanding of given phenomena such as sea level rise and ground subsidence, strikes me as not serving well the needs of Sussex County residents. It does not matter whether or not you think the changes are caused or increased by human activity, the changes are happening. And I urge you to appoint a representative to this committee as it continues its important work. There was only one council person present at the Cape Henlopen event, and I hope the rest of you attended the previous presentation at Georgetown. I believe it's a very, very important process and project and affects so many of the decisions which you are charged with making that I think the more informed you can be and the more you can contribute to others' understanding of it is very, very important.
Can you? Thank you. This is so important. Can you give me an idea of what you think, why it was so important that I should be there?
I think to find out what other people are saying, what information they have developed, where sources are that might inform you. You all decide where you approve wastewater treatment plants.
Yep, we understand what we're doing there. Yep. That's been proven scientifically. We've got to get rid of waste. But it's not really been proven scientifically that we've got high water coming up and the ground going down. To me, personally, you can't get into something more ridiculous that can't be scientifically proved. It hasn't been proven. I sit in more meetings than probably you have. I sit in every meeting. I sit on a soil and water board meeting. And a lot of these things is just somebody's dreamed up. It's nonsense in a lot of ways. It holds up a lot of things that could be more important done. And that's why I'm not there. It's just waste of time, and most of the time for me, and I suppose the rest of them feels the same way. Probably won't speak up as much as I will. But I think, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you've been taken.
I respectfully disagree with you. I believe it is important. I believe there's a lot of scientific information that supports it, and that if we close our minds to it, that we miss an opportunity to make decisions that are very vital for our future and for the future of generations beyond us. I'm old enough that I don't have
water,
to worry
where's
about
where's all this water coming from,
you?
Ma'am? Where's all this water coming from? That where the water's rising. Where's it all coming from?
A lot of it's coming from.
We don't
from
produce
if,
any water.
If we could,
please,
this time is not this time for somebody to bring a council. It's not for us to converse back forward
okay,
with them.
I'm sorry.
Sam will call you at home later.
Right, we can discuss it. I can provide.
Thank you. Thank you for your input.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your input.
He's had too much coffee.
They got to get me.
I could be wrong, but I thought we had assigned somebody to attend the future committee meeting.
You went, didn't you, John?
Hadn't we? Yes, I went.
That's correct. We have
that's
assigned someone on staff to attend. So someone will be there at the
Sussex
next meeting.
County.
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
I'm usually there.
Mr. Cole?
Typically, we clean up the agenda. Historically, we have done in the past, Todd, with outstanding planning and zoning applications and things like that. Next week is their last meeting, correct? Is it possible that we get a list or maybe put them all on the agenda and then we can sit there and decide if we want to defer on some and others? But historically, we
things that have been deferred, you know, we try to clean it up at the end of a year in December. So the last meeting, I don't know if there's any consensus that we want to do that at this time, or is there any...
You're referring to the matters that were deferred. I think the rules are that it would be the president, if it's over a certain time,
it would be the president
putting it back on the agenda. I don't know what the policy has been in the past, you know, wrapping it up. I just don't know.
Mr. Baker, could you comment on that, please?
Democrats.
So I think we've deferred to the president on that. However, we could certainly review the list of outstanding items.
Well, there's some we probably can't because they're still deferred from P&Z.
Well, that's true. No, I know we can't do that.
Yeah,
right. I know that.
Right, right.
No, I'm just pointing out that in the past, many times we would be given a list, and maybe we're just waiting too long to have this suggested with the transition going on. So
I don't know if it's appropriate
to give us a list for next week. And then maybe we can look at it for the first of the year or something. But we try to, some of them are just left out there because they've been forgotten. And some of them, things have changed, and we can just, you know, clean up the docket a little bit. And I just think it's good housekeeping. So
sure.
Is it possible then maybe just get a list of each council person's district and what's outstanding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Conditional
uses. We probably can't do that today.
No.
Will we have it in time for next week?
I've asked to have it put on the agenda, so we don't have to have it prepared. It's just we need to post right 7 days in advance. So can't we just make sure that it gets put on the agenda for next week, Everett? We're 7 days in advance.
It was anything that was deferred if it was more than a certain period of time.
It was more than
45 days, then it would be up to the president to put it on the agenda at that point.
Well, I'm just saying, but we would have a list. I'm just wondering, is it possible to have a list for next week given to us if we ask for it this week?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying.
Mr. Lang has a list.
That's all I'm asking. Yes.
But we couldn't put it.
And we could go further and put it on the ones that are eligible to the discretion of the president. We could put those by the end of today.
I would just rather see the list, and we can have a conversation on it. If we wanted to, we could go through the list if we wanted to and discuss different ones. Because Mr. Vincent may not be familiar with the situation, maybe if it's something in my district or in Sam's district. So I would rather, you know, just get the list, see where we are, see what's out there, and why they're out there. And Lawrence,
send the list
I'm sure
out can, with a packet.
Yeah.
In the packet. But I'd like it on the agenda so Lawrence could maybe...
For discussion.
Podium.
Why not just get each councilman, have a list for each councilman, let us look at it and
we could do it that way.
I think in our packet a few weeks back, Mr. Lang gave us that list.
Okay, well, if they could get it back.
Of all those.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say why they were on there. I mean, I didn't say if they were deferred or not, just they were on there and hadn't been dealt with at whatever point in time. But if we could, I'm sure in between now and then, we can put it on the agenda for informational purposes.
Yeah, discussion.
And let Mr. Lang come back to the council and let everybody know in their district if there are certain things, and we can all hear about that. Sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else from council? Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce to the council a new associate in our firm, and it's Shannon Owens. She is seated in the back. Shannon's been practicing law approximately 9 years. She was most recently practicing in the Seaford area. Shannon is exciting for me because her father, Jack Owens, who the Del Tech Southern Branch is named for, was one of my mentors. So it's great to have her with the firm. She does a lot of real estate work. Also general practice and estate planning and elder law. She has already met with some of the county staff on some issues concerning tax collections and other issues as well. So I just want you to have an opportunity to see, so when you see her face, you will know who she is.
Well, very good.
Jack Owens' daughter?
Yes.
I know another one of those daughters.
And you said she deals in elder law. Maybe she could assist Mr. Cole with some things.
The problem's not with the other daughter. It's her husband. I have to sit and have coffee with him once in a while.
Her husband.
Okay.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Mr. Moore. Welcome. Entertain a motion to go into executive session for personnel, potential and pending litigation, yeah, and land acquisition.
Sounds good to me. Yes.
Have a motion, Mr.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Have a motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. We'll now go into executive session for those issues and items.